Ladies and gentlemen, Council Boys back. Brand new episode, brand spanking new. If you're here for the first time, for some reason that works too. We're the Council Boys. I'm joined with the homie Mikey B.
Always good to be here, Jess. Always excited to talk about video games.
Always a pleasure indeed. So, if you're new, that's how we do things around here. We used to split the episodes up, which we still might, but we're kind of just kind of running through these things these days, and we do whatever we want, you know what I mean? That's what the Council Boys are all about. So, what we've been playing, Mikey B, you want to start us out?
Sure. As you might know, I'm a big Tony Hawk fan. You're more of a skate guy, but we both love skateboarding games in general. And last time we talked, I was playing Tony Hawk 1. That's completed. Got all the gold medals. Unlocked all the levels, so that's all set. So I dived over into Tony Hawk 2. Just as good as Tony Hawk 1. Completed that. Unlocked all the levels. Got all the gold medals. I unlocked the last level, which is we get to skateboard on like a submarine ship, which is kind of cool, like a tanker ship, like a carrier ship. So that's cool. So I did that. So that was the positives. Now into, you know, some slight negative news.
Wait. Before you jump into negatives, secret characters. Did we get any or?
No, because I got gold and everything, and getting gold and all the comps and Tony Hawk 1 and Tony Hawk 2, all that did was just unlock one level. So I don't believe that, you know, Spider-Man will be swinging around.
Lame. All right. Negatives. Was a great segue into the negatives, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, it really was. My game of the year, even though I think it came out last year, was Hades. I think we did 4, 5, 6 episodes on me playing Hades. It got me really into playing a genre called roguelike, because that's what Hades is.
Yeah.
So I've been on the look for another roguelike. So I saw a game called Less of Dead. It's voiced by Hellboy himself, Ron Perlman. You pretty much play as Ghost Rider, and you're kind of like, based on you're stuck in purgatory and trying to, you know, find your way of, you know, east, you know, heaven or hell, depending on how well you might play. So I thought, okay, cool. I like, it's all good. I like Ron Perlman. He's a good actor. You know, I like the visuals. The visuals were really, you know, has a kind of distinct style. And I played it and I was like, man, this game is really like a homeless man's Hades. It's really poor. Like, there's no music. So when you're actually in the levels, it's just like sound effects. Yeah. So that makes it sound kind of rough. It's like, it makes it seem pretty low rate.
Yeah.
The character moves pretty smooth, but the gameplay is just like, really, it's like, it's slow. Cause like, you have to start out with like Wild West pistols. So it's like one shot and it's like slow reloading. So that doesn't feel fluid. Like, your character moves way fast, like super fast, but like your actions are hella slow. So it's like, it doesn't have like a good rhythm, as you know, like in Hades, where you're dasking and jet setting around. You're like, okay, combo, combo, combo. And you pretty much going around the room in circles. The mix is really off. So yeah, this was probably 10 minutes and like, nope, this ain't for me, my dude. I got to get out of here. So, West of Dead was not a winner, but it just shows you, Matt, that, you know, Hades is a game that, you know, could be duplicated and somewhat copied, but can't be beat. So
often imitated, never duplicated. You know what I mean?
Very well said, Josh.
Oh man, that sucks. I mean, it looked cool. We talked about it last time. That's just like the game we play. You know what I mean? Like, we're all just really rolling the dice on these video games and 50-50 good or bad. So sucks that you didn't get a good one, man.
Yes. How about you, Josh? Anything exciting that you've been playing that you want to share?
So Call of Duty, obviously, you know the motherfucking vibes.
Oh, we said, add it onto the list. We might have to talk about Vanguard.
Oh, true. Well, there you go. We can talk Vanguard, which it kind of goes into this, because Call of Duty has had, I don't know about right now, but an in-game mode for Vanguard. So there's a Vanguard event going on in Call of Duty where you're pretty much just shooting down a train. It's cool for the first time, but it's really not worth playing twice. And then they force you to watch the trailer at the end, which is kind of a good strategy. You know what I mean? If you're like, how do I get people to know that we got a game coming out besides the internet? Let's have them play this cool map. Not cool map, but like cool mode. You get a couple of perks out of it, and you have to watch this trailer. So it looks cool to me, man. All the Call of Duty games make good fucking trailers, dude. Like, that's the problem with these like shooter games. Like, the trailers could be banging, and then like it's all about what you get into the game. But Vanguard, a whole new story, a whole new Call of Duty. Zombies are getting moved over into the new Call of Duty too, so that's awesome. The story continues, is how they say in Vanguard, which we're already going to pre-order soon, so you know how we do. But yeah, so Vanguard looks dope, fighting different trenches of the world, and it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Like, what's like the main story if you're like on so many different fronts, but you know.
Especially set in World War II, which is different. It's been a while since Call of Duty's been back in that time period.
Yeah, so we'll see how it goes, man. Like, I'll be honest, I haven't even finished the Cold War campaign just because multiplayer is just where it's at. So, with that being said, Warzone, still picking up a couple dubs here and there, getting guns. Yeah, I was trying to explain the Battle Royale to someone the other day, and, like, it's hard to explain it, but I spend a lot of time doing it. You know what I mean? It's like, he's like, yeah, what's the fun in it? And I was like, you play like a bunch of quick rounds. He's like, for what? And I was like, I don't know, but it's fun as hell and I can't stop. You know what I mean? Like, the battle royales are like, so I think if it wasn't for the battle pass, like the grind for free, not free stuff, but the grind to finish the pass keeps you going. But obviously bragging rights too. We all want bragging rights. Like, I'm not going to get signed to like a, you know, a clan or some shit for my skills, but it's fun to keep playing with the homies, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's popping. I've been doing a lot of zombie, like, speed runs just to see what it's like, because in their free open world outbreak mode, I've never made it to, like, double digits just because, like, it takes a long time. And, you know, I was like, there has to be a faster way to do all this shit. So I've been kind of just, like, going straight into missions and seeing how it goes. Just to see if, like, you can make it to double digits with what they give you, like, the bare minimum. And it gets pretty wild, but it's very doable. So, got to tweak this, you know, the strategy. So, when, like, we get the gang on, we can just do it quick and try to hit some double digits and all-out zombie madness, you know. But besides that usual stuff, which that's never going away, Strike Force, still wheeling and dealing, you know what I mean? I finally started playing Death's Door too, so we're gonna just briefly talk about that indie game that looked stunning that we talked about, like, we talked about that, like, it seems like months ago, but, like, episode wise was probably like an episode or two ago, so it's like you could literally go back, and for us it was like a month or two. But you're a Reaper Crow trying to get out of hell, and you have to collect souls and help, like, an older crow reaper get out of the underworld. So you're trying to take out these three main bosses of these three different areas and collect swords and do the damn thing. It's cool, man. It's really fun. Like, I'm already, like, 6 hours in. Just, like, but those 6 hours are, like, it's a slow 6 hours, but, like, I'm getting smoked sometimes. I'm, like, what it's like Hades, but you don't have to, like, start all the way from the beginning. You start from, like, your checkpoints from the doors, and, like, all your progress is saved, but so you keep going, and you have to keep fighting bosses, and, like, if you die, go back and forth, and once you keep dying, like, a couple times in the same area, it just gets, like, super frustrating, and then you're like, I don't even want to play this anymore, so it's like, whatever, but then you go back the next day fresh at it, like, brand new strategy, and you end up passing the level and stuff, so super fun. I want to say I want to beat it, but I haven't picked it up in a day and a half, so I wonder if this is the downslope of the game, but nice little game to digest. You have like 10-20 minutes to play a game. Definitely worth playing. So what's cool about this game too is, like, it's very eerie. Like, I play this with, like, my headphones on, and, like, the music's very, like, scary movie-ish, so if, like, you're gonna you know, something's going to pop up. It's going to get you. It's going to get you. So, yeah, definitely a game worth trying, man, for sure. That's pretty much all I've been playing, man.
Was that a Game Pass game?
No, I bought it.
Ooh, interesting. Nice.
Yeah.
Boy in the dev.
So, yeah, so like two episodes ago, I mentioned that I was going to pick it up, and I actually did pick it up. So,
nice.
Definitely worth the money, man, for sure. It's very fun, very creative. The crow is a reaper is cool. The story is, it's unfolding, and it's pretty cool, too. So, it seems very, very simple and not too complex. So it's not like you have to find this gem in the forest because this guy's doing some shit. It's just like, nah, man, these three people have to die so we can open this door. So, yeah. So obviously want to shoot for the best and hopefully I can knock this bad boy out. So we'll just wait and see what happens, you know?
Mm-hmm. Which leads to a great segue because you're talking about an indie. And Nintendo just had another indie showcase in August, so that's a few days ago. And we'll just go through the list as we always do, and you know, we'll see if we have any thoughts we want to share, we'll speak on it. If not, we'll just you know mosey on to the next game.
All right.
First game, it's available right now because it dropped that day. It's Axiom Verge 2, which is kind of a Metroidvania. Really nice pixelary type game. So if you've ever played, you know, a Metroid or a Castlevania game, this could be something of note. I never played the first one. I'm probably not going to play the second one, but to a lot of people, this is, you know, this is their jam. This is something they're super excited about. Yeah, anything to add?
This just reminds me of like a Castlevania.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's like, it's fine for me. Like nothing like super crazy. This one didn't stand out to me. So
this is a fun one because if any of the old heads who listen to our podcast from you know day one players, they know your thoughts on Tetris. So
yeah, we can skip this shit.
And if you want to know, well, yeah, based on that, never mind. Yeah, so it's called Tetris Effect Connect, and it's coming in October. Next, we have. Okay,
I would love to like jump clip the scenes, but man, I feel like I don't even know where that episode's at. Like I'd have to like deep dive and really.
Maybe it's on our. It could be on our Instagram. I think I made like a little video with it where like our cartoon animated heads of me, you, and Albert. So if I'll take a look at it.
But
if you do a deep dive on Instagram, on our Instagram page, it might be there. Maybe we could repost it, you know.
Yeah, just know chain. That.
It's a funny one. It's probably one of our best clip-offs that we've had.
Oh, man, me and Touch.
There's a game that's been around for over 35 years in many, many forms. Tetris.
Yeah. The game is so good.
I mean, I'm cool with it, but I don't give it like a top 10, dude. Like, there's only like so much game, you know what I mean? Like, I think that's ass, dude. That's not a good call. Honestly.
Don't say that about
Tetris.
I'm not saying
that the game's bad, but like.
Have you considered historical importance of the game, because that was one of their criteria in this top 100. It's not just like the best games, but also like historical importance of that game also.
Then where's Pac-Man at?
Pac-Man is probably in there too. I just don't know where he's ranked.
No way, dude. If you put Tetris over Pac-Man, if that's like a thing, IGN's full of it. I don't know.
Well, it looks like we're boycotting IGN.
We're Galaga too. Yeah, you know what I mean? Galaga is fine.
Where Dig Dug at, man?
I don't know. I'm not cool with that.
Let's just move it on. Let's move forward.
Okay, let's move on to a game that I think we both are going to like quite a bit because it is very much a sequel. And a sequel with not just, it's pretty much a sequel. It just doesn't have the name because it has the same music from Jet Set Radio. It has the same art style from Jet Set Radio. You're doing the same thing as Jet Set Radio, which is traveling on foot or skateboard while performing tricks and spraying graffiti around town. It is called Bomb Rust Cyberpunk.
Funk.
Oh, sorry. Cyberpunk. Yeah. Cyberpunk. Sorry, that was a popular video game from last year. Yeah, but it's Bomb Rust Cyberpunk. Cyberpunk. Yeah, it's coming in 2022, exclusively to Switch for a little bit. Yeah, this game is hitting all, based on the trailer and the music, this game is very much Jet Set Radio, just, you know, with a little funner title, so. Did you play those games back in the day?
I did, because it came with like the Xbox, so you would get that as like a, not a demo, but like an actual game. Mm-hmm. It was fun, but like it's very one-sided to me. So like, mm-hmm. This looks cool. I like what they're doing. Like the style is great. I always loved the style of that and Paul Rappa the rapper.
Mm-hmm.
That shit was cool too. Like that kind of like loose leaf, very colorful. It was my jam. So this is definitely a demo, demo worthy for sure. Just to see how this plays and get, you know, some of that nostalgia back, you know?
Yeah, I agree. The gameplay is a little bit one note. So yeah, demo will definitely help out if this game is, you know, has, you know, added any new ingredients to it, to, you know, to diversify the playstyle a little bit more.
Yeah.
Next up, a game that was a big hit on PC. It's called Loop Hero. This is a card-based RPG. It will arrive on the Switch this fall. It's already out on PC, so all you PC sickos, you can play this right now. It is a clever stripped-down RPG concept that demands attention for as long as it takes you to work out the clever best way to guide each hero class. It has a fantastical dark story setup and is one of the best games of the year. That was a quote from the IGN review. I'm going to skip over this because I never really play these type of games, so I don't have really much to say on this.
Same. I mean, it looks like, I like the vibe. It's got very like eerie underground, you know, temple stuff. So I could dig that. But yeah, I never played this, so I'm cool. I'm cool to move on.
Very well. Next up, coming really soon, September 16th, another time exclusive for the Switch. It's called Eastward. It's a post-apocalyptic action adventure RPG. It's inspired by 90s anime. It's published by the same people who made Stardew Valley. You play as John, a hardworking miner who discovers a young girl named Sad in a secret underground facility. The trailer was cool. I love this. The art style is awesome. And the gameplay was giving me some like Super Nintendo Zelda vibes. So yeah, this game looks like I'm going to definitely keep my eyes out for this one. And I will, based on some reviews and some research, this is a game that I feel like I could definitely dive into.
Anyway. I'm going to be 1,000% honest with you.
Sure.
I missed your little segment because I clicked the link on the site.
Yeah.
And a magic video started playing that everything was paused on the page and way too fucking loud, first of all. And I missed the last bit of it. But with kind of how the flow of this is how it's going, like, this looks cool, man. I really like this a lot. I like the anime style, like, this like kind of like 16-bit, you know, kind of game looks awesome. Like this is like, there's like a specific game I'm thinking this kind of reminds me of, but this kind of like, this is okay. Just hang out with me for a second with this one. All right.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of playing Mega Man X on Super Nintendo. And if you just change the direction of the screen, it kind of gives me like a whole like that kind of vibe with like how the setting is and like how it looks like graphic wise. It's a wild one, man, and I'm sure there's another better example that I could give you for that game, but that's what like it kind of reminds me of. And like this is like you said, very Super Nintendo-ish, right?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, that's, I'm really digging that, man. So this is definitely something like I would love to try just to see how it actually plays and like how, you know, the story unfolds. So
yeah, this is high on my list.
Yeah,
for so far. This is a game I think you're gonna really dig because I know you're a big fan of those match 3 puzzlers. So you like the match 3 game. So this is called Shovel Knight Pocket Dungeon. It's a puzzle adventure game starring your fable Shovel Knight. So it's part of the ever growing Shovel Knightiverse. This is it's called, like I said, Shovel Knight Pocket Adventure. It's a new falling block puzzle adventure game that gives fans the original Shovel Knight and a new way to enjoy the character. It's part puzzler, part dungeon crawler. When I'm looking at the trailer, it kind of just feels like you're matching. Oh, that ooh, fell into the same trap as you almost with that loud trailer. But yes, based on the trailer, it's you're kind of doing you're matching blocks, but also doing some like actiony stuff with it too. It's kind of like hard to explain unless you're not watching the trailer.
Yeah,
if you're watching the trailer, like you're matching things, but you're also like it's almost like you're platforming also a bit, or like doing some sort of action within it. So it's an interesting mix.
I think the best way to kind of describe this is the Candy Crush's Bomberman.
Ah, that's a good, great pull.
Like
yes.
It's just like it's got that like you know overhead like bounce up, move around, place bombs and shit, and blow stuff up. But then you're also matching colors and stuff.
Yes.
So this looks cool, man. I'm a sucker for these games, bro. I have like 8 of them downloaded on my phone, man. I got like the Family Guy version, the fucking Garfield version. Is that Pokemon one or some shit? Like, there's just something about that like matching. I don't want to say it's mindless because I feel like there takes some sort of like mental skill to it, but like just a quick like whoop, 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 and you're good to go, man. So I'm going to check this out just because like there's something inside of me, man, that is craving a Bomberman game. Like, just don't give me no fucking super 3D, you know, like Mega Man Legends shit. Give me an old school Super Nintendo style Bomberman game and I'll buy that. Like, give me something simple like that. So this, I think, could fulfill something in me that I've been kind of hunting for, but this is cool. I like this too. It's probably my number 3 on the list.
Very well. Like Drake, back to back. Here's another game that I think Josh is going to like. Metal Slug Tactics is a tactical take on the classic franchise. So yeah, Metal Slug, which has a really cool art style. Then you throw in the tactic gameplay, which kind of the way this looks like, it definitely reminds me of a game we both like, Mario versus Rabbids. So yeah, this looks like a win. Has a good art style. It has a gameplay that we both kind of enjoy, that kind of strategy. You have to plan every move. You only can move one or two squares depending on the character. Set in the Metal Slug universe. Yeah, this is a really cool concept.
Yeah, I love this, dude. There is something about this that, like, technical difficulties, real quick. But there's something about this game that I love. It keeps the whole Metal Slug vibe. Like, it doesn't change anything for anyone, and it's very Metal Slug-ish, and I love it. The tactic part, I can't get enough of that. Mario Rabbids 2, if it's anything like this, sign me up. This looks like it keeps expanding as you keep venturing, so you don't know the whole thing. So there's a part in this trailer right now where they were just moving in the desert, and they found a new spot and a whole new area loaded. So you're constantly like discovering stuff too, which is pretty cool, and there's bosses, so 100%. 100% cop, first day for me. Digging this for sure.
Okay, now we're into some weirder, more adventurous games. The game is called Toem. It is billed as a relaxing, wholesome, hand-drawn adventure game where you set off in the beautiful Scandinavian countryside by taking photos. So it's it's based on that. Based on the art style is kind of this interesting kind of black and white. Kind of looks like if like a low res Adventure Time was in black and white. And you're taking pictures of, creatures and stuff, just like if this was a Pokemon Snap game. I feel like this really appeals to the crowd who enjoys, Animal Crossing. So if that's your jam, this will be something that you would be excited to play.
What's the snack time? What's the recent game that you
played? Oh, Adventure Pals.
Yeah, this is very Adventure Pals to me. This is cool. What I love about this game is that they didn't half-ass you with the taking pictures aspect of it. Mm-hmm. Like, this game is definitely not for me, but like when you switch into camera mode, you actually get like the 3D world, and it's nothing like generic.
True.
But then I get I don't know what I was expecting with this style and the picture taking, but it looks like you can. When you set your camera up, you're getting a vision of the whole world too. So
This looks cool, but definitely not my cup of tea. But I give it props. And the fact that it's all in black and white and you're trying to take pictures.
Yeah, it's a cool
that's
idea.
That's wild, too.
Yeah, I can't remember any game that's 100% black and white like this. Next up is a game, again, set in a post. Now, this is a post-apocalyptic journey. It's called Far Changing Tides. It's coming out in 2022. It's an adventure game set in a post-apocalyptic universe. Well, players will, you know, sail around on a big sailboat and try to solve puzzles and, you know, survive the mighty storms and mighty challenges that happens when you are, you know, sailing a boat.
This one looks cool. I like the art style to it.
Mm-hmm.
But it just, something about me and water games, man, is not that great.
Got it. Moving on. Tap it into Joss's former career. Necro Barista Final Pour is an anime-style visual novel about coffee and death. This is another game set in the Necro Barista universe. So this is a visual novel game. So if you're a fan of visual novels, I think this is something you might enjoy. And if not, then you will not. But yeah, visual novels is like an extremely like niche video game franchise that, you know, video game genre that people are super into.
This is weird, man.
Yes, it's like reading an interactive book, the visual novel. It's like a choose your own adventure, like back in the day.
Yeah, man.
When you were a kid, and you're like, oh, go to page 46 if you want to, you know, go camping.
My thing is, like, there's a universe of this out there already.
Mm-hmm. This is a sequel.
Thing. Like, yeah, okay. So I obviously don't know everything, right, about video games because, you know, who am I? But the fact that there's, like, a whole, like, genre of, like coffee and death stuff is nuts to me. Like, I'm not gonna play this. I was super intrigued until I saw the gameplay right now.
There's not a lot of gameplay, dude. You're
there's
reading.
Not a lot of gameplay.
There's
yeah.
no gameplay. You're reading and then yeah, like, I'm you're like making that. A decision.
It's yeah, like, I'm like, give me something else, man. I'm like, if I'm about to be whipping up some lattes to like do some shit, dude, I'm down. But this cop. The title to this is like the perfect like leading sentence to try to get me to do anything. If you're like, hey man, what about an anime style visual novel about coffee and death? And I'm like, okay, everybody shut the fuck up. Like, let me hear this specifically. Like, you're talking to me personally. So it's like, but give me more gameplay and coffee and death sort of game. Sold. I'm cool. So let's keep it moving.
We sell. Wow, this is a game that was announced such a long time ago. I think me, you, and Albert recorded a podcast in my apartment about this.
Yeah.
And I was finally out and being finally out for the Nintendo Switch. It is called Boyfriend Dungeon. Take your weapon with you on date. It's available today, so it's available right now if you want it. And if you have the Nintendo Switch, it's an interesting concept. The gameplay of the game is kind of like a dungeon crawler, you know, gauntlet. Diablo style game, but your weapon you choose to, you know, hack and slash, you could, you know, it turns into a human of either, you know, either gender, and you could decide if you want to, you know, date your weapon or not. So that is called Boyfriend Dungeon. It's, you know, video games have really expanded beyond Mario and Tetris and like Zelda. Were like, last game we're talking about is coffee and death, and then this game we're talking about is, you know, your weapon that you choose in the hack and slash you could date. You know, video games have definitely evolved beyond us, you know, jumping on, you know, turtle shells and try to save the princess, and it's, you know, it's really cool.
This is fucking wild, by the way. Mm-hmm. Like, if you were just to show me the hack and slash part of it, yeah, but like the story, I don't even know what this story could be about, but like, It's so out there. You know what I mean? It's like, hey, pick a weapon. Are you going to date it? Do you want to date it? It's just like, let me just use the weapon. Like, I don't, like, I just wonder, which I would love to have someone play this, and like I would love to see it and just kind of like learn more about it, because it's super fascinating, and like
there's
obviously a crowd for it, you know what I mean? So it's like,
true, because this game's been ported to like PC and every other console, so there's obviously people, you know, supporting this game and buying it.
Yeah, it's so wild to me. So I can't believe it. I cannot believe it. So
from that to a game that is so wholesome that, you know, a two-year-old could play it. Garden Story is available today. Let you become the gardener of the grove. This is a very friendly, extremely friendly and cute and kitty Animal Crossing game where you are a gardener and you grow vegetables and fruits. And, you know, you make sure, you know, you're the best gardener and, you know, make sure you're giving people, you know, the healthy vegetables and fruit that they need to grow into strong people.
It's like Stardew Valley.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm off that. I'll pass.
It's part of like a new like genre that's coming up a lot lately. That's kind of like super chill, relaxing games. You're just kind of like decompress from
real
like
life shit.
Yeah, pretty much from like from all the real life, you know, horrors that happen in real life. Let's just, you know, chill out and, you know, grow some, you know, lima beans and green beans and just, you know, cool it for a second or two.
True.
Speaking of that, the next game is called Islander. It's a relaxing procedural general strategy game. As you see developments, as you're on an island and you try to, you know, figure out what's happening on all these islands. So I'm not giving my best example to explain this game, but it's
this looks like the Simpsons Tapped Out, where you're building your own town.
Gotcha.
But then it's got like a, oh my god, what's the? It feels like No Man's Sky.
Gotcha.
Wandering worlds in between too, so. It's a good combination. I kind of like this too. This could be interesting. I like it. Yeah, they like harvest shit and like through like first person.
I do see
shooter.
Some. Yeah, I'm seeing like some Sin City, like some like Sim City vibes. Like you're growing different things on each island. I'm noticing as I'm watching this trailer.
Oh, I was looking at the wrong trailer. 100% my bad. But yeah, well, yeah. The first person shooters for the next one. My bad. But like, yeah, this looks really. Very Simpsons Tapped Out-ish. Recreate Springfield sort of thing.
True.
I dig this. Is this out already?
Yes, available now. So the three games that are available right now that you could play was Islander, Boyfriend Dungeon, and Axiom Verge 2 are the three games that you could play right now as you're listening to this podcast. Give it a go. And that was the Indie World Showcase. But
yeah, well, there's
one more?
Oh, I got it all mixed up. This is all my bad. What's the first person shooter one then?
I'm not sure.
Let me. It's called Slime Rancher.
Oh, okay.
There was other ones that didn't pop up, and like I'm watching this trailer, and it looks wild. So Slime Rancher is like a first person shooter, and like you're pretty much just wandering and doing objectives in a town.
Mm-hmm.
Lumberjack looks super cool to me. Like you're a bear destroying a town, but it's got very Donut County, Donut Country vibes, which looks pretty sweet. Curious Expedition 2, the Oregon Trail for the Switch. yeah, there's just like a bunch of other ones that are running through this like little trailer at the end.
Gotcha.
But yeah, I can wrap it up. My bad, dude.
No, that was, well, besides that Nintendo news, Nintendo had a trailer. Nintendo and the Pokemon Group had a big event. Not a whole bunch of Pokemon stuff. You're the biggest Pokemon person I know.
Question is if I could wrap this up in like 5 minutes. You know what I mean? Because you and I are watching this time ticking down.
Oh,
so.
Now we got 6 minutes.
So.
Oh, and also
count it.
We got 6 minutes. We were supposed to talk about Returnals. We're probably not going to talk about that. Maybe we'll do it another podcast. Well, okay, let's go.
But that's the best thing about this podcast, man. If we have like other episodes, we can put this into. We'll just do patch notes. But okay,
yes,
Pokemon. Pokemon. I had like a bunch of announcements. Obviously, like the main course of announcements was Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl was one of the big announcements, and. I'm going to say it wrong, but I'm spacing on the name. I'm really fucking the time up right now too.
A-R-C-E-U-S.
Arceus.
Yep.
There you go. Pokemon Arceus was the other big news from here. But they also updated us with, like, I think it's called Masters. A bunch of the mobile games are getting updates for, like, their anniversaries.
Yeah, Pokemon Cafe Mix is getting a remix.
Whole new update for Remix. I think they realized that the game wasn't doing as well as they wanted to, so they updated it, which is totally fine. Which is another match color ones, too. So that's getting an update. Pokemon Masters, I think it's called. It's one pretty much like you're training in an open world. Update for that. Pokemon Go is getting an update. The legendary Pokemon from Sword and Shield are showing up into Pokemon Go, which I'm back on Pokemon Go, so you know how it goes. But let's talk Shining Pearl and Brilliant Diamond. I never played these games on the Game Boy or the Game Boy, the DS or whatever. So this is new to me, but I know the Pokemon, so this looks cool. Whole new gameplay. Not really much to say about there, except for, like, the story's going to be cool since it's new to me. But the big news, Pokemon. God, how did I forget it again?
Arceus.
Jesus Christ. This is the one we need to talk about.
Yes, we do.
This is the game that we've all wanted as Pokemon fans. Like, we want to be, like, a real person in the real world with Pokemon. Like, what happens when you run into a Growlithe? You could get attacked and you can get hurt. So, you are pretty much... We got a release date, January 2022.
Okay,
the game will be dropping, so be on the lookout. Very Breath of the Wild vibes. Open world. You're pretty much on the journey to fill out the Pokédex. So, you are just running around and, like, taking field notes to help everybody out in the long run. So, showed off a lot of beautiful worlds, man. And, like, the way you interact with the Pokemon, it's got, like, everything that you would love in a game. So, you can battle still. You know, send out your Pokemon one-on-one. Whole new battle system based on, like, performance of your actual Pokemon. Like, you could heavy attacks. Changes your speed and, like, your order of attacks or agilities and so on and so forth. And then you could also just, like, track Pokemon down and try to catch them too. I don't know what the complete details are of that, but that's cool. I like that. And then they could actually attack you if they see you and you're in the wild and, like, you're intruding. You could get killed. So, or it's how they say in Pokemon, you black out. So that's pretty much about it. They didn't really show any more, like, legendary Pokemon. We didn't get any updates on, like, how far this Pokedex will go, but if you get to see the world, man, this is massive. So I'm sure that they could fit a pretty decent sized Pokedex in there. So, Maggie B, you gonna join us in the Pokemon world yet, or what?
Maybe. This game looks really good. Like, I'm rewatching the trailers as you're talking about it. That's the amount of mobility. Like, I'm saying, like, you're on almost like a jet ski with bike based on an animal. And then you're on, like, you're on a horse. Well, it kind of looks like a goat. You're gliding in the air. The traversal looks really cool. The combat looks interesting. Like, I'm seeing these scenes where you're, like, fighting a bear, and the gameplay looks a little more smoother to me. It doesn't look like you're stuck in, like, an RPG mode. You're, like, diving and ducking out of the way from these animals attacking you.
Mm.
So, yeah.
It's like Monster Hunter with Pokemon, dude.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah, because, yeah, like, there's a lot of scenes where, like, you got put in a situation where, like, you're definitely outmatched. You're just kind of, like, trying to run away and dive out of it. So, like, that aspect seems kind of interesting, like, a more of a Monster Hunter vibe to it. So, no, this game looks good. So, this could possibly be my first Pokemon game I dive into. It's, you know, it hasn't done anything to steer me away from it yet. So, it's still in the running as a game that I might want to, you know, give a chance to.
Yeah, so that's pretty much what we got going on for Pokemon, which we got, like, less than a minute, so this might cut off. So we might, who knows what'll happen, maybe do some patch notes or something to show this up. But if it cuts out, I've been joined with the homie Mikey B.
See ya.
Council Boys are out. See ya.
Peace.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Gaming Council Podcast. Now, if you're not with us on the social game, you're really missing out. on Instagram. Follow us at the Gaming Console Podcast. Facebook is the Gaming Console Podcast. Also, follow us on Twitter. We're the Console Boys on Twitter, so hit us up, tweet us. Everything podcast related episode wise, go to gamingcounselpod.com.
The Council Boys in the building tonight. Oh, what a feeling I'm feeling life.
Council Boys are out.